Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8. And I decided I'm going to preach right from the Word of God. It's very important. You know, a lot of churches, they will talk about their tradition, or they'll have a liturgy of things that they go through, right? Or they'll, you know, they'll take the most popular topic of the day. But it's really important that we focus in and we pull our strength from the Word of God. It can be trusted. There's nothing else in your life that you want to build your life on than the truth of God's Word. And God doesn't require a preacher to explain it to you, right? That you can read this stuff for yourself, and the Holy Spirit inside of you will give you revelation, and He will speak to you. Because I don't know about you, but some of the most important, potent, powerful things that God has ever spoken to me was when I took my Bible out and I read it myself, right? So I encourage you, this is what you need to do. So Romans chapter 8, and I think if you guys want to stand up for me, I would like to read it all together if we could. So it's too long. I want to do the whole chapter, so, you know, I just want you to stand and honor the Word of God and watch as we read along. We're going to start off with verse 5, and I'll just read it to you. It says this: those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful when I am lost. Lord, you are faithful when I doubt everything. And Lord, you will be faithful to the end. Lord, speak to us today right where we're at. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, God is faithful. And then you can have a seat. God is faithful. Go ahead and have a seat. So, Romans, I decided to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, because this is a really important thing, and as I prayed about my message this morning, I felt this really deeply inside of me. Starting with verse 5, take a look at it with me. But those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. You know, we have a mindset. We have a way that we look at things. And when our mind is darkened. I don't know about you, but I've had many times in my life where my mind was darkened, where I wasn't thinking right, where I didn't understand the way, I didn't understand God, and I was hostile towards God. Do you know what that means, being hostile? You know, there are many times in life before I found Jesus Christ that circumstances happened. Things happened to me that were so difficult that I couldn't explain, that I didn't know why that they happened, and they were bad things sometimes. And when those bad things happened, my mind immediately thought that God was against me. Do you ever do that? Am I the only one in this room? Right? Things happen, and so we all have a way that we feel or that we think about God. Isn't it true? But before I knew the Lord, I thought God was good and that God loved certain people. Because I saw that really cool people like Tom Cruise, he was really cool when I was a kid, I'm just saying, Top Flight. You know, like God must love them, and if God loved me, then I would be like him. Was I the only one that thought that way? Like I see people who have kids, who are successful, and I thought, well, God must really love them, and I know that God doesn't love me because all these horrible things are happening to me. Right? Family life messed up, right? Potential divorce in the family, we got alcoholism, we got, you know, me being bullied at school, or maybe I was bullying people at school. Like, this whole world's really messed up, right? And when you have a darkened mind, you can't make sense of it. It just doesn't make any sense, because you think that, well, God must be good, and he chooses those special people. Right, and he gives them special gifts. And anyone who else is out there, which included me, I was not special, and therefore God must not love me. That's what I thought. Because my mind was hostile towards God, right? And I did not submit to God. Because since God was against me, I why would I submit to him, right? Like, I would blame God for the circumstances in my life. Did you ever do that? This happened, and I know God is against me, and it's his fault. And if God wouldn't be against me, then my whole life would be good. I'm only preaching to myself today, I guess. Right? So we're hostile. We start blaming God and pointing the finger, right? And here's the kicker. I would love to stand up here today and tell you that only happened before I was saved. But the truth is, sometimes that happens even now, right? I'm driving along, right? I'm living my life. I gave my tithe, and my car breaks down. I'll never forget one time. Uh-oh, I'm going to tell a story, Linda. Pucker up. I'll never forget this one time we're driving to the airport. It's okay. We'll get through this, honey, okay? We're driving to the airport. And apparently I took the wrong turn. I think it was the GPS, but whatever. We don't want to cover that right now. So I took the wrong turn, and Linda's like, where are you going? Why are you going this way? This is the airport's over there. And so I did this once in my life. I held up my finger, not pointing at her, but like this, and I went, shh. So all of a sudden, these big, beautiful brown eyes look right at me with the head cocked just a little bit, right? She says, did you just shush me? I thought I was going to be thrown out that car at that moment, but somehow we made it through that. I still blame the GPS, right? But I was hostile towards my wife, and sometimes we can get hostile towards God. We can point a finger. Look, I'm not here. I'm not stupid. And when I prayed about the sermon, right, this is what God put in my heart, that some of you have circumstances in your life that you're pointing towards God, and you're blaming him, and you're pointing the wrong way. And I want to explain it to you in Romans chapter 8, what in the world is going on? Because I cannot allow you, the Holy Spirit cannot allow you to live with a darkened mind. He came to set you free. So just like before you knew God, your mind was darkened and you weren't thinking right, and you knew that you were an enemy of God, sometimes in this life now, even now, we have those same things and we have a darkened mind, right? And God wants to set you free. You need to look at somebody and tell them God wants to set you free. Because he's going to today. So we have a hostile mind towards God, and we cannot and do not submit to God. And not only that, but we can't please God. You know, when you have a hostile mind, a darker mind towards God, you cannot please God. Can't do it. Let's take a look at verse 9. It says this. You, point at yourself, you, that doesn't make any sense, you, me, oh, okay, you guys will figure it out. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. For if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Turn the page if you have to. Because your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Man, I don't even need to preach. Just read that stuff. Right? Jesus is alive. He gave the Spirit inside of you. He empowers you. He said, but I don't feel like I got it inside of me. It don't matter what you feel. We can't go around living the way that we feel. If we do that, it's going to be a dark, horrible life. Feelings don't matter. Say that to yourself. Feelings don't matter. The Word of God is what matters. The Spirit of Christ that is alive inside of you is what matters. When you ain't feeling, you tell God. He's not surprised. Right? He knows the way that you're feeling. Oh, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like serving God. I don't feel like loving this person. And then say, Jesus, give me strength, and he will. He will give you the strength that you need at that moment to get over your feelings. You can count on that. So Jesus came to rid us of death. See the problem is in these verses, verse 9, let me find it again, through 11. I'm going to read verse 12, is where I'm trying to get. Therefore, brothers, we do not have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's what I wanted to hit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. See, we cannot live by the sinful spirit because it deserves death. Man, before I knew God, you know what? I knew that my life was a shambles, right? I did very bad things. I picked on people. I bullied people. I stole stuff. I told lies. Matter of fact, I told so many lies, I started having to stack them up. You ever stack up lies? They don't stack very well. Right, you start telling one lie, and then you're like, uh-oh, yeah, okay. So I told mom and dad I was at my friend's house, but I was really there, here. And so then you go to your friend's house, and you're like, well, I can't tell them. Well, what do I tell them, right? You start stacking lies, and they all crumble on you, right? And I knew I was always running from a lie. I was always running from a lie. I was always trying to cover my tracks. And you know what that breeds after a while? Insecurity. It brings anxiety, right? It builds all kinds of things in a life that make us miserable, right? That's having a darkened life. And you know what? If you live according to that life, it is going to bring and deserves death. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew I was in darkness. I knew I was running. You don't have to run anymore. It's time to come home. It's time to come to Jesus today. It's time to to come home to your Savior. You have a father, a good father, a father and a friend. You have a friend in the Lord. He's been chasing you from the very beginning of your life. He's the one that brought life to your bones. He formed you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. And he loves you. He will not let you go. He's calling your name today. Come home. Stop living in darkness. Stop living in a darkened mind. You need to repent. Man, when I was 12 years old, I knew I was in trouble. Right? I knew it was just like if you weren't supposed to have something and it was in your back pocket, and you're in a line where they're checking your back pocket. Right? You're like, uh-oh, I know I'm in trouble now. I'm not supposed to have these cigarettes, but here they are. Right? I got to get these out of my pocket. Should I drop them? No. Right? It's kind of the same way. I knew that I was in trouble, that death was knocking at my door. And then Jesus came in. I knew that I deserved death. And you know what? There is nothing I could do about it. There is nothing I could do. Because I tried to run and hide. I tried to get away from it. But the more I did, the more it followed me. Right? It was like your shadow. You can't get rid of it. Right? It's just going to be there. Right? It's like that cigarette's all rolled up in your sleeve. Right? You can't hide that. It's too late now. Right? You can't hide from it because death is coming and you deserve it. And there's nothing that you can do about it. But here's the good news, that Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price for that sin, right? And you've got to understand this, because I didn't understand it until my dad told me, 12 years old, he came home from a drug rehab place for the weekend. He had gotten saved. God just miraculously changed his life, and he was preached the gospel. And he came home, and I'm 12 years old, and he told me about Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross. Right? I'm not going to get this exactly, but I'll tell you the way that the message came to me as a 12-year-old boy. My dad came home and said that Jesus had changed his life, that he had saved him, and that he's no longer addicted to alcohol. Man, we had alcohol all over the house. I mean, hidden in the toilet, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the basement. We had it all over the place. And first thing he did is we collected all the... I didn't know we had such a collection of bottles of alcohols. They're all over our table. We collected them all. And then we went into the bathroom. He's like, here, help me pour them out. We poured them out in the toilet. Right? And after that, he started explaining to me. He said, God save me. He's like, you know what? I had all these things in my past that I had done wrong. All the alcoholism and all the being mean to people, and he was abusive to my mom, and he was abusive to us. He's like, all that stuff, he's like, they're all wrong. But Jesus gave his life, and he paid the penalty for me, for my sins, and now I'm free. And I sat there taking it all in. That's a lot to take in when you're 12. And he's like, do you want to do it too? Yes! You mean I can be free from my past? Right? I can be okay with God because there's something inside of me, just like something inside of you always wants to be right with God. Right? Something inside of you say, yeah, I want to say yes to God. I want to walk with him. Can you imagine? What can't you do walking with God? Right? And I think that's what we all wanted. But Jesus took that punishment of our sin on that cross. And it's the very reason that we live today. Let's pick up in verse 12 that I just read. It was so good, I want to read it again. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Not good. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I just want to camp there a minute, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to become a son of God today. And when I say son, I don't mean boy. I mean a child. Become a child of God, right? God is calling your name. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Fathers. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we also may share in His glory. See, these verses are so encouraging. I think I heard the wind leave the room because there's a little spot in what I read. It said that word that none of us like. Suffering. We all like to focus in on the good stuff. But we want to just say suffering, well, we can't explain that, so we're just going to leave that over here. Today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the rightful place of suffering in our lives. So our obligation is to live by the Spirit. If we live by His Spirit, we are sons of God. You know, there were times in my life when I questioned whether or not I was a son of God because of my darkened mind. I let that mind overcome me. I started thinking bad. I started getting depressed. I don't know what you do when you get depressed, but I eat. Some of you sleep, right? Some of you get into Netflix, right? And you just don't let it go for 4 or 5 days. You don't take a bath, don't brush your teeth. Come on, I've been in your living room, right? I'm just saying. You know, we all handle things when that darkened mind comes on us. And we know that we need to make a change. We know that we need to come to God. But it's easier just to let the next series come on the Netflix. It's easier just to not think about it and just let it go. It's easier just, you know, we don't know what to do with that suffering, that situation in our life, and sometimes it's easier just to let it go and then go to McDonald's. Right? Right? Let's look at that. Let's come to grips with that today. God, you know, as I prayed about what to speak to you, that's what I saw. I saw people stuck and with a darkened mind. Not only those who didn't know Christ, but those who are stuck where they're at. Those who didn't have hope. Those who just ignored the suffering, ignored the tribulations in their life, and just allowed just to keep going, right? Put on the happy face, right? Put it in cruise control, and we'll just continue to live our life. Well, let me tell you something. God loves you way too much to leave you there. I wish I could look at every eye in this place. God loves you way too much to leave you there, right? Even now you got your mask on. I can't see through it, but God can. Even now you're hiding from this place. You're putting on a false positive, right? You're acting like everything's okay, but the truth is there's some stuff that you need to deal with today. There's some stuff that you need to really resolve in your heart and in your mind. You can't live this way any longer. Look at me. You cannot live this way any longer. You can't live in your darkened mind and your darkened place. God loves you too much. He's calling you out today. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. All it takes is a yes. All it takes is a prayer. All it takes is bending your knee and repenting, and God will restore you. You know what it's like to be restored by God? Hallelujah. Man, when I was 12 years old and my dad told me the gospel, right? And he's like, you can accept Jesus. He can wash your sins away. Put me in, right? I was ready to go. I prayed that prayer. I kneeled on the floor. And then my dad said, you know what? God's got something even awesomer for you. He can fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what's that? Right? I'm wide open right then, right? He's like, man, do you hear me speaking? You know, he didn't really understand it. And I'm like, yeah, what is that? You know, is that a what is that? He's like, that's tongues, man. I got to speak in tongues and God empowers me and I can pray for people and they can get healed. I want some of that, Dad. Right? Like, put me in, right? And you know what? He prayed for me and I don't know what happened, but I hit the floor. Nobody showed me how to hit the floor. Nobody, I wasn't in a service where people fell down gently, right? All I know is my dad lays his hand on me, and I went inside a place in my mind and my spirit that there is nothing there but God, me and God. Nothing there. You been that place? I look in some of your eyes, and I see that place. You've been there. I didn't even feel like I was breathing. Like I didn't need to breathe, right? I was just in another realm, another dimension. Can I get nerdy on you? Sometimes in life, right, there's this moment where heaven, the realm of heaven, touches the realm of earth, right? You ever watch Ghostbusters? Okay. There's no spiritual significance to this at all, but I'm getting nerdy on you, right? So in Ghostbusters, one of the weird things that happened is when the ghosts, yeah, that's what they're called, when the ghosts would actually touch physical things, there's this trail that got left over. Do you know what it's called? Slime. What's the technical term? Yeah, there it is. Ectoplasm, right? And so, it's this slime that's all in it. And it's sometimes when the heavenly realm, oh, Jesus, what did I do? Sometimes when the heavenly realm, right, reaches earth and it touched me, I kind of felt like I got slimed. In a good way. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Right? But there is this moment sometimes where heaven touches earth and you get touched so passionately. So much power is in that moment. I'm just looking for Rob. Where is my brother? Oh, there he is. Right behind Jimmy. No wonder I couldn't see his head. No. So this will be my last Sunday. But you know what I'm talking about, right, Rob? How do you it's like you can't explain this stuff, but you know when God's power is released. I don't know. I can't explain it, but dude, it happens. And if you haven't experienced, that's okay. You're not missing anything. You know, in God's time, all things are going to come to completeness. All things are going to happen in God's timing. I was thinking about this today. Like, God's timing is very curious in our life. You know, a lot of times we go through suffering and we go through things, and the Bible says that, you know, we're healed. The Bible says that the curses are broken, right? The Bible says that all these things are true, why do we experience them? Huh. Well, I would say go to that alpha class. You can sign up in the back and we'll come up with that answer for you. But isn't that where it's at, where the wheel meets the road, right? And we wonder about that. So I was thinking about this, and the best thing that I could come up with, I just had this idea. How many of you have ever gone to school? Now I know who's asleep. That's awesome. So when you're at school, I don't know about your school, but there were bells that went off, right, to release you from the class. How many of you knew exactly when that bell was going to go off? Okay, so the bell at the end of the day was my favorite one. Lunchtime was like, okay, but at the end of the day, man, I'm free, right? I could go and run and punch somebody and flirt with the girl that I liked, you know, all that stuff. And so you'd sit in class, right, and it would be 3:06, and you know that bell goes off at 3:07. And there's nothing that happens at 3:06. It's like time sets still, right? And you're in the tick, tick, tick. I can still remember that hand just tick, tick, tick. Because at 3:07, that bell is going to ring. Now imagine this. Imagine if you didn't know how the bells worked, or imagine that you didn't, that you're sitting in there, but you didn't know that the bells went off in time. Imagine if that was the thing. If you didn't know when the bell was going to go, right? And you could be sitting there in your seventh-hour class, but you didn't know when the bell is going to ring. And what would you do if you were waiting? You're sitting there going, man, this class is so long. I got to get out of here, right? This is crazy. How come I got to sit in this stupid class? Mr. Green doesn't know what he's talking about, right? He's going to give us an assignment. If that bell rings before he gives an assignment, I'm out of here, right? Not that I did homework anyway, but some people did. But isn't that the way that we are in life sometimes? Like, we don't know what God's timing is. Like, there is a time for it, but we don't know what it is. And we sit there sometimes and act like, well, now's the time. Well, now's the time. Time of my healing. Time of my healing. But the truth is, God's got it timed out according to his clock, not yours. You know, as I came out of my mouth, I didn't even like it. God has timing, but it's according to his timing and not yours. And he's the one that knows when the bell goes off. So you can sit there in the midst of your suffering and complain to God and question him and be hostile towards him and blame him because you ran out of money or that someone's sick or that someone's dying, right? But the truth is there's a plan and there's a clock that's going on, right? Isn't that true? I don't know when it is, but it will come, that moment, that time we are healed. We will see it. Let's dive into the word a little bit. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick it up at 18. Sorry, I had an article in the middle of these pages. It was kind of hard. Okay, verse 18 says this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." First off, I want you to understand that he's addressing sufferings. Why is he doing that? If we had enough faith, we wouldn't be suffering. That's what I think. Do you ever think that? Right? But the truth is we have to deal with suffering because there it is in verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Oh, I love this verse. Check this out. If you get excited about God's word, this is going to get you. For the creation awaits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Did you ever consider what that meant? For the creation was subjected to frustration. I'm in creation. I'm subject to frustration. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Let me explain this to you. There will be a day when all suffering will end. There will be a day when we step out of this stupid clock system, we step out of this time. We step out of the clock, tick, 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 and all the things that can go wrong usually do. We're going to step out of that, and we're going to step into the eternal, where God our Father, our friend, who paid the ransom for us to live this life, we get to be with him forever. And get this, you get a new body. Yeah, anyone over 50 is saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? We get a new body. This body's starting to look old and gray, and it limps sometimes, right? Especially after you play a little football at men's retreat, right? You got the pulled hamstring. Not that I would do that, but I know some people do. Because I'm 50 and I'm smart now. That's why I keep telling myself, don't talk to my wife. She won't tell you the same story. I know how old I am. Come on, Linda. Don't correct me from out there. You make me look bad in front of my church friends. Right? I don't even know where I was. Oh, yeah, there will be a day. Right? And so Christ paid the penalty. We are in that day. That day is coming. All the tears are going away. We're getting our new bodies. All those things that happened in the past, all those healings. Some people don't receive their healing until they get to heaven. Hate to tell you this, but it's God's timing. I don't control it, right? But this is what God does. He's got the time set, and I don't see the clock, and when it goes off, bang. But I tell you what we do. We pray that God makes that bell go off while we're still in the land of the living. We pray for it. We seek it. Bible says if you seek, he'll answer, right? We know that it's coming. It might not come today, but you know what? It might. And that's what I'm looking for, man. I'm praying to God because I want my healing today. I want a healing for you today, right? And we seek it like it's happening now, right? Just like we're waiting for the bell. Oh, bell, ring now. Ring now, right? As it's ticking along, ring now. I don't know when it's going to happen. God didn't give me all the answers, right? But he did tell me that someday everyone is going to be healed. Yeah. He told me, someday there will not be suffering in your life. Someday we're going to move from this dark world into eternity. And it's going to be good. God is good. Come on. See, if we look at suffering, and it said this curious thing. Did you check it out when it talked about suffering? It says, 21, that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of decay and through it into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Suffering is an inheritance that we get in living in this world. If we didn't have suffering, we wouldn't be part of this world, because the only way to live in perfection is to be with God and not be in time. Suffering is part of life. And future glory is part of our inheritance from God. Our sufferings are incomparable to God's revealed glory. That's what he said. Incomparable. Right? It's kind of like when something happens to you and you think it's the biggest thing in the whole world, and then you realize a day later it really wasn't that big. Right? It's, you know, I don't have any good examples. I failed you as a preacher, so let's move on. Suffering is not an indication of rejection. Suffering is an indication of a family tie. Suffering is not an indication of rejection. Suffering is an indication of family ties. God does not leave us alone in our suffering. He doesn't leave you alone. There's a time coming. We're going to pray together. That's why it's important to be part of a community, part of a church, because we'll stand with you. We'll pray for it to happen today. We will seek God, and God will and has done many miracles in our midst. Right? He will not leave you. He does not leave you alone in your suffering. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, verses 26 through 27. And I think we'll, this will be my last little point here. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Right? You ever in a tough spot and you don't know what to pray? Pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit does not abandon us. You think, I've been abandoned by God. That's why all this stuff happens. You know what? Try to pray in the Spirit once. If you can, then you know that God has not abandoned you. Right? Pray in the Spirit in all occasions. You ever, you know, there's been times in my life when I've reached a spot, I don't know what to say. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. Right? I feel hostile towards God. I don't understand why things happen. Pray in the Spirit. For it is in the Spirit that he covers our weakness. Right? I just want to finish reading one portion of Scripture, because it is powerful and it is life-changing. And this is where the Spirit of the Lord is at this morning. I'm going to start with verse 37, 38, and 39. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not just a conqueror, we're more than conquerors. What does that even mean? How can you win and even win more? Right? Because we get to step out of winning, because we're winning right now. In this dark world, we win. But guess what? We step out of the winning into the eternal, so we're more than conquerors. That's God's destiny for you. For we are more than conquerors. Verse 35, but who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who lives in us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to pray. Jimmy's going to come back up and close this up. So would you just stand with me? Father God, I thank you that you are faithful, that you are my God. You are my God even when I was living in darkness, that you are my God when I go through trouble and persecution, and you're going to be faithful. You are my God at the end. Father, I pray as we take these last few important minutes, Lord, before your throne, Lord, that you speak to everyone here. Each person here has their own story. Each one here has their own path that brought them here today. And I know that you intend to speak to each and every one of us because we are called to be your son and we are called to be your brothers. To be brothers and sisters, and we are called, Lord, to live in your grace. So, Father, I just pray that you would move with us today. Let your spirit fall. Speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Johnny. This is what stuck out to me. Pastor Johnny just read it just a second ago. For I am convinced. Holy Spirit spoke to me while he was reading that and said, Jimmy, what are you convinced of? Are you convinced that I can't come through for you? Are you convinced that you're never going to be healed? Are you convinced that you're always going to be living with depression? Are you convinced that God is not listening to you? Are you convinced that you're never going to rise above where you are? Are you convinced that you're never going to be good enough? What are you convinced of this morning? This piece of scripture in Romans is a declaration. It is you were getting to read somebody else's mail. And the author is saying, knowing all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. For I am convinced. This is what he said. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, no matter how I feel right now or how I feel in the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. We just read somebody's diary. We just read somebody else's journal. This is a declaration. Do you need to make a declaration this morning? Do you need to be convinced of the truth and lay that down, knowing that you are heirs and co-heirs with Christ? You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You don't just win victories. You are more than a conqueror. Amen? We don't just conquer, but we take dominion. Not by our own strength, but by His Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? This morning, Pastor Johnny, thank you so much. Powerful word. This morning, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you want to know Him today, and you want to be convinced that you are His, there is a way out, and that's through repentance. This morning you say, Pastor Jimmy, that is me. I want Christ right now. Don't hesitate. Raise your hand up. Let me see it. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Or you say, Pastor Jimmy, I have been convinced of the wrong thing for a very long time. I know the truth, but I have gradually believed the lie. I'm frustrated in my faith, struggling, and I need to be convinced. I need to make that declaration this morning that nothing can separate me from the love of God. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? All across this room, if that's you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. We all just, could we raise our hands just in a receiving mode? We're just going to pray right now. Father, I come before you this morning. For those that raised their hands and said, yes, I want Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you just begin to, in your own, with your own words, God, forgive me. You are what I have been looking for. And today I am convinced that you can forgive me of my sins. Today I am convinced that I'm no longer the tail. But you have given me sonship. And today I accept you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept my sonship, my adoption into you. I accept today. I am no longer lost. I am no longer confused. You are the source of my strength and the love of my life today. I give you everything. And today, if there are people that have gradually been convinced that they're never going to receive their healing, their marriage is never going to be fixed, they're never going to change, those old habits that have had dominion over your life will always be there. Father, today let this be our convincing day that neither life nor death, neither angel nor demon, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am convinced today that you are the source and the strength of my life, and in you I live and move and have my being. Today I am convinced that I am healed. Today I am convinced that I am set free. Today I am convinced that that old self is gone, and behold, all things have been made new. Today I get my joy back. Today I get my praise back. Today I begin to speak life again over myself, over my family, over my kids. In Jesus' name, today I walk in victory. I don't feel like it. I'm beat up, but I'm walking in victory. By faith, I trust you. By faith, I trust you, because I'm convinced today I am yours and you are mine. And so, Father, today, I thank you for changing my mind. Today, I thank you for renewing my spirit. Today, I thank you for healing my body. Today, I thank you for renewing my relationship with my wife or my husband. Today, I am convinced that I am a child of God. I am born again. You are my God, and I am your son. I am your daughter. And so today, let a new song begin to rise up in my spirit. And let it be the joy of my life. Restore unto me the joy of my spirit. And renew a right spirit within me, Father. Today, I am convinced. Would you say, let's say that together. Today, I am convinced. I am persuaded. I will no longer believe the lie, because you are mine and I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen, we're going to have some folks up here. If you need prayer, specific prayer about anything, we want to pray for you. We want to make sure that those needs are taken care of. If you are here for the very first time, we have some smiling faces in that guest services desk back there that want to get connected with you. And we want to give you a free gift. Please go back there and get connected so we can get to know you and minister to you in a better way. All right? Listen, I'm going to pray over and we're going to be dismissed. Father, thank you again for awesome fellowship today. Thank you, Father, for awesome praise and worship and a powerful, anointed word of God today. And Lord, today we say we are convinced. And so we choose to live it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Greet one another. Take some coffee with you if it's still back there. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.